people did not like my Mario Chalmers take, man.
Nobody likes your Mario Chalmers take. Somebody called you a joke.
Solana and Falero here on 560 WQAM, taking you up till 10 p.m. You can text us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. Hialeah Hector along for the ride as well. He is driving the program. Great song.
Hey, you've been pretty good with the music today. I'm not going to lie.
Trying to get a little Friday feel, bro. It's Viernes Social.
Hey.
Know what that is, Falero?
El patio?
It's just a generic Viernes Social. It's just party.
Social Friday?
Viernes Social.
That's what I said.
I made the joke on Thanksgiving. We did the Thanksgiving Especial.
Yeah, we did.
That it was for Latinos. So Hector wasn't in with us on Thanksgiving morning, but we had Manuel Chang driving the program. Daniel Quevedo, he produces for the Joe Rose Show. He was on with us. I'm Alejandro Solana.
You can't even say your name right.
And Eddie Falero.
I told him. Right. Hector, I told him, you can't say my name in Spanish. It's not like a Spanish name. Eric.
Eddie Falero.
Sound like Eddie.
To my right. Four Latinos were on WQAM, I believe, in the first time ever. Tonight, it's three Latinos.
Yeah.
Some would argue three is better than four. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Who would argue that? Three is better than four.
I don't know. I didn't want to make Hector feel like, you know, that the other show is better than this one. You know,
it seemed like it, though.
Yeah, you're taking a shot to Hector today. I don't know why. You took a shot at his update.
Anyways,
you're taking a shot at him like this.
Three Latinos on 560 WQAM. I mean, it's a big deal. I truly believe it's a big deal. Because
are we the only Latinos?
I mean, I don't know. Like, you look around, and obviously, Dan Le Batard is probably the most famous, the most famous radio personality in South Florida. He's Cuban, from Miami. He represents all of what is Miami, and he does it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that, there aren't many Latinos in South Florida sports radio, right?
On this station, you got Joe and Zach. They're both white Americans. Then middays, Dono, he's Italian, I guess. Frito is American.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah,
and then
from Chicago.
Hawk and Crowder are both American.
Right, and then you look over at 790, and obviously we're speaking about right now. I mean, there's not many. So
Morning Show doesn't have any over there.
And we are a predominantly Hispanic city, right? Like, you could say that mm-hmm. At least Miami. Miami. I know if you go into Broward, it's different. But even in Broward, there's a very large Hispanic influence.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a big deal that three Hispanics are doing a sports talk radio show together on, you know, what is really the epitome of sports radio in South Florida, being on 560 WQAM. I just wanted to point that out. Anyways.
Good job by you, man. I like that.
I mean, I hope I'm not coming off as, like, tooting our own horn.
You are. It's just a little bit.
I guess.
It's our second show ever.
I know. It sounds weird, but I do think it's a big deal. That's all. And you know, it's cool that I get to call you Eddie Falero.
And we all have different backgrounds, right?
I'm Cuban.
I'm Guatemalan.
That's weird.
I didn't know you're from Guatemala.
Yeah.
Why do you say it like that?
My dad's Guatemalan.
I'm from Uruguay.
Uruguay, Guatemala, Cuba.
I didn't know you were from Guatemala.
Yeah, I got my bow and arrow right here, bro.
What does that mean?
Anyways, people don't like my Mario Chalmers take. I was calling for Mario Chalmers' jersey to be lifted into the rafters. People don't like that. People are calling me stupid on the text line.
I agree.
But I do like this one text. One texter says that he should retire number 50 Joel Anthony. I'm there.
Do you miss him? I kind of miss him sometimes.
I miss Joel Anthony. I started MVP chance for Joel Anthony during the Big Three run when he would go to the free throw line. And like UD, LeBron, Wade, Bosh, he'd all be dying on the bench when these chants actually picked up throughout the season.
You started them?
I started those chants.
Nice.
I also started the LeBron is tired chant a couple years ago. And today is the 3-year anniversary. Ethan Skolnick, he used to work on 790 The Ticket. Mm-hmm. He had me on his show. I was just a kid in college who went viral on Twitter. He had me on his show when he used to host with Chris Whittingham, middays, I believe. Or no.
Oh, Afternoon Drive.
Afternoon Drive, to talk about the LeBron is tired chant. And here we go. 3 years later, I'm on 560 WQAM calling for Mario Chalmers' jersey to be retired.
Nice, man. More tooting of your own horn.
George Sedano. That's a good one. George Sedano.
If he stayed, yeah.
Had he stayed. Now he's big time in L.A.
Yeah.
Isn't that the reason why we are here, Valero?
Me and Hector, we both got our internship here at 560 WQM because of George Sedano.
Wow.
I tweeted at him. I'm like, hey, big, very big fan. Me and my friend, we were looking at, like, we want to be like you. We want to grow up in radio and be like you, how you are now. And he's like, email the program director at the time. He gave us his email address and we became interns.
Is that really how it worked?
Yeah. He doesn't know that, but me and Hector do.
Wow.
Got hired at the same time too.
Hired at the same time.
I just got hired. I didn't have to do an internship. I just got hired.
Well, must be nice.
Yeah, they took the internships away because...
No. But that part wasn't necessary. I just got hired.
Yeah, because we had no interns.
I'm just letting you know. I just got hired. I was getting paid.
Weren't you an intern over at 790?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to know where Joel Anthony plays now?
In Canada?
San Lorenzo de Almagro.
Brazil?
Argentina.
Really?
Yep.
Joel Anthony's in Argentina. What city is that? San Lorenzo?
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. How about that? How about that? That's cool, man. You continue playing. Would you guys do that? Like, I know, obviously, Dwayne Wade had the offers to go to China. Like, once you're kind of washed up in the NBA, and not that Dwayne Wade is, clearly, he still has some left in the tank, but would you go play overseas?
And just
keep picking up contracts wherever you can. Just keep picking up a check.
It would depend how much money you got paid over. Like Dwayne Wade, I don't see Dwayne Wade going overseas because he's made over $200 million in his year. But like a guy like Joel Anthony, I'm looking at it here. He's made $23 million in his career. You really got to play in Argentina? Does he miss basketball that much?
Where do you make big money like that? What contract?
With the Heat, he got a lot of money. $3 million a year for 3 years. And then... The Boston, he got 3.8. Detroit, he got 3.8. Detroit, 2.5. And then 663 grand with the Spurs. But yeah, the Heat gave him most of his money.
Now that you mentioned the Spurs, we can touch on it quickly. It is weird how bad they are. We spoke about it earlier, about how close the Western Conference is and how unbelievable that playoff race is going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spurs, I find it so interesting because last season, they didn't have Kawhi Leonard. The best two-way player in the NBA, you could argue, and obviously LeBron James probably takes that, but Kawhi Leonard, the best two-way player in the NBA, did not play for you last season. And you still made the playoffs. I believe they were a 7 seed. They ended up being a 7 seed or 8 seed.
Yeah.
Whatever. They made the playoffs without Kawhi Leonard. And they were a team who was competitive in the Western Conference. Look, you make the playoffs in the West. I don't care if you luck into the playoffs. That is a tremendous accomplishment when you have Kawhi Leonard out the entire season. Like, it is a tremendous accomplishment. Your best player is LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, in this NBA, that's not saying much.
Is that their best player? DeMar DeRozan's on the team now.
Well, I'm saying last season.
Oh, last season. Okay.
Right. Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge. This season, it's the same team, essentially. And then they add DeMar DeRozan, who is an all-star caliber player. He can score, volume score, does a lot for you. And they are not good. It's not that, you know, they're going through a rough time, injury riddled, which they are suffering, going through the injury bug. But they're just not good. They're probably not going to make the playoffs unless there is some dramatic turn in their season, and I'm struggling to understand what's happening there because Popovich, I mean, we could just talk about all his accomplishments over the past two decades. Every team of his for like 18 years in a row won 50 games, made the playoffs, and I get it. They had Tim Duncan, they had Tony Parker, Manu, but he's still one of the best coaches ever, right? Like, those aren't LeBron James's. Those are Tim Duncan's and Tony Parker's. Like, even Tim Duncan at the end of his career, he wasn't really, you know, a top 20 player. But it didn't matter. They were still winning championships. They were still competing at the highest level possible. And I'm struggling to understand where Popovich just, his team this year, with star caliber players, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge,
both
Rudy
All-Stars.
Gay, they have a couple young pieces. Like, why this dramatic turn to just being bad?
I mean, they got some injuries. I know Paul Gasol's been out for a couple of games, and they lost Tony Parker. They lost their guy, Manu Ginobili, like you said. I don't know. Is the West got him better? It just passed the Spurs by?
I mean, we know what happened with his wife suddenly passing away. Do you think he's just not
maybe
in
like
it
motivated
right now?
Anymore?
No, maybe not. Not that he's not motivated, but yeah, like there's just a lot going on, you know, and he's just not into it anymore.
Maybe he's not putting much time into it. He has got other things on his mind. I don't know.
And
we don't know
if that's true or not. We're just speculating. But it's certainly interesting because it's bizarre. They're this standard. They set this standard, and then now they're the complete opposite of it, right? They're like the Heat of the West.
Yeah.
They have better players than the Heat, but
they do have
better players. They're in the same situation. They're underachieving, and they have a really good coach, and people are questioning, you know, the direction of that organization. People are questioning the direction of the Miami Heat.
I think everybody says those two franchises are like they're run the same way. So it's you can't explain it. You can't explain what's happening to them. Bryn Forbes, you know who that name is? Brian Forbes?
Yeah, he's actually not a bad player.
He's the third best player in the team. Never heard of him.
You also admitted to only watching 4 Heat games all season.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's gotten into me, man. The NBA's gotten weird. I'm not that interested into it anymore.
Is it because the Warriors are going to win?
I think so.
Is that why?
I think the Warriors have made me like dislike the NBA. Just like I know what's going
to
happen.
And you don't find yourself wanting to watch Warrior games?
No, not really. The only team I like to watch is OKC because of Russell Westbrook. He's exciting, but
is Brian still on hold here? Let's go to Brian.
Brian's been waiting. Yeah, he's been waiting.
Yeah, Brian's been waiting.
He's
what's
mad
up,
at
Brian?
You, man.
Hey, the young bucks taking over, man. Ponyo.
We're trying, bro.
Yeah, we're trying.
No, you guys are doing a good job. Keep at it.
Thanks,
you guys
Brian.
Are doing really good.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it, man.
No, I sent out a tweet to both of you guys. I don't know if you guys saw it, but this was a question that came into my mind. Just thinking about like the Pinstripe Bowl with the Canes this year, the Dolphins are just you know where. Which team is going to finish 500 this year?
You mean between the Dolphins and the Canes?
Yeah.
I mean, it's above 500, Brian, or at 500?
Above 500.
Well, the Canes are 7-5, I believe.
I'll throw the Heat in there, too.
Oh, no, the Heat aren't finishing above 500. That's for sure.
Thanks for the call, Brian, and appreciate the support. Aren't the Canes are already above 500,
yeah,
right?
I think they're 7-5, so they're going to finish. That's my guess. I'll go with them. I'll go with the Canes. They're going to finish above 500. What say you, bro?
I mean, obviously taking the Canes out of this equation, right? Down to the Dolphins and the Heat. I mean, the Dolphins are going to end up 8-8. Just stop it already. They're going to end up 8-8.
Are they, though?
They're going to end up 8-8.
They beat the Patriots at home.
I'm over it.
What if they beat the Patriots at home?
Stop.
They're like 7-6.
Omar Kelly told us a little less than an hour ago, or a little over an hour ago, stop with that they play the Patriots well at home, that the Dolphins play the Patriots well at home.
What? It's proven.
But so what?
That means they can win. Everybody's not giving them a shot.
It's a different team.
Bro,
it's a different team.
They beat them last year with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that sounds great until Tom Brady scores 50 on us. This is a good song, man.
Yeah,
is this Friday music?
Yeah, but like he had a great flow going, and then he messes it up with this.
This is the end of the night song that when everybody's drunk, they sing along to.
But our show's not done.
I will say this. You're talking about El Patio. Bro, this comes on at El Patio on a Friday night at like 1 in the morning. Yo, people are jamming, man. People are jamming. Seriously.
Are they?
No?
I mean, tell me why.
Who is this, Backstreet Boys?
Yes.
I thought it was NSYNC. Wow.
Do you remember that craze? I was a little too young. Like, I remember the Backstreet Boys. I know all their best songs. NSYNC.
Yeah.
But I was, like, too young.
I remember, like, watching their concerts on TV and, like, dancing in front of the TV. It was weird. Shameful admission. I'm sorry. Chi-Chi doesn't even know that. She's listening.
Solana and Flair are here on 560 WQAM along with Hector Mejia. Hialeah, Hector. We take you, of course, until 10 p.m. on a Friday night. The Miami Heat, in about 40 minutes, are going to be playing the Phoenix Suns as they embark on their Western Conference 6-game Western Conference road trip. You can text us at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We've covered a lot today. We had Omar Kelly join us earlier. You can hear that interview on, what is it, WQAM.com?
Yeah.
I go to that website 8 times a day.
Why is that so hard for you?
And I just can't remember the website.
WQAM.com. That's where we work.
We spoke about the Dolphins. We spoke about the Dolphins and the Patriots this Sunday. Eric Folero thinks the Miami Dolphins have a chance at beating the New England Patriots because they play
have
the
you
Patriots
seen their track record?
Well at home. Let me go
over their track record.
Again?
Here we go. Last year, Jay Cutler beat the Patriots.
Who cares?
At home.
Who cares about Jay Cutler?
Exactly.
Who cares
He's
what
terrible.
Jay Cutler
He's
did?
Terrible. And they beat the Patriots 27-20. 2015, the Patriots visited Miami with a chance to steal the number one seed. Guess what? Tannehill beat them 20-10. Week 1, 2014, 33-20. 2013, 24-20. Michael Thomas picked off Tom Brady.
I get it. I get it. The Dolphins beat the Patriots at home. I get it.
Okay. So why is it such a stretch that they have a chance this Sunday?
Because it's Tom Brady and the
New England Patriots. I get that, but
and
the Dolphins play them well.
You lucked out against the Bills. Your entire team is hurt. Your best player, who gives you your only chance at getting stops and forcing turnovers on defense, is out. Get well soon, X-Man.
Next man up, Torrey McTyre.
Who?
Torrey McTyre. It's going to pick off Brady. Mark it. Put it down, Hector. F8. It's a producer's trick. Sorry. Sorry, listeners. Did you see a story about Odell Beckham?
I did not.
He spends $300,000 a year on his off-season maintenance. He says, quote, I take care of my body each and every day. I put probably over $300,000 in my body in the offseason. It's a lot to upkeep. I don't ever want to decline. It's a lot of money.
So it's $300,000 on himself, right?
Yeah. Or he says he spends it on a personal chiropractor, two personal trainers, and a private track and field coach to help him with the speed.
What was that, chiropractor?
Cryo. Did I say cryo? I thought you were going to just let it go.
That's BS, right? Like, he's just getting mani-pedis. And haircuts. I do like his hair. I wish I could grow him
I up. Wonder if he puts that money in, like, it says hair.
Yeah, it's pedicures. Like hair products, mani-pedis.
Do you get mani-pedis? I get pedis.
I get pedis.
Chi-Chi invited me the other day to pedi. I go, yeah, wait, why not?
You went with your fiance?
I did, yeah.
I went with my brother.
Who? Your brother?
My brother.
It's a little weird.
My girlfriend's invited me to go get mani-pedis, huh? Not feeling it. Go with my brother. 33-year-old. Hector, you get mani-pedis?
Pedis, not manis.
No manis?
Yeah, my hands are fine.
You get pedis. You get the gel on your toes?
Look
you
at
know
you,
that?
Bro.
How do you know that?
Know about that stuff, huh?
What?
How do you know about gel on your nails?
It's more expensive. It's supposed to last you 2 weeks.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because I know.
Okay.
I don't get the
but
gel.
But there's a new thing now, though.
What is
I don't know what it is, but there's a new thing. They're talking about it.
Yeah, sounded like you knew.
Great contribution, director. Really. Great contribution. So it's weird that I'm getting pedicures with my brother?
Yeah.
He's 33. I'm 24.
I mean, you're just going with another man. Like, I think you only right, acceptable but, if I you mean, go there with your significant other.
This isn't like a romantic outing with another male. I mean, this is my brother.
I know, but it's just weird. Like, I wouldn't go with my brother. People would look at us funny.
Get some cappuccinos. I was scared about that. Like, I was a little self-conscious the first time I went.
Yeah, so I don't have good feet. So I went, and obviously my fiance is sitting next to me. We're getting our feet done. The lady starts talking in a different language. And I'm like, okay, whatever. They're talking a different language. I look to Kimberly's, my fiance's, like, nail person, and she's staring right at me. They're talking crap. My feet aren't pretty, so they must be saying, oh, look at this guy's foot. Man, this is nasty. I can't believe I'm doing this. They were just doing it in a different language.
Do you have ugly feet, though? Because I don't. I have like, nice feet, so I was never self-conscious about my feet. Just the fact that, I mean, look, let's be honest here. For the most part, generally speaking, manicures, pedicures, it's a women environment, right? It's a female environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's totally unfair because anybody can go get their manicure and pedicure done, and it should be totally acceptable. But we already see it right here. The first text I look at, 560-22, we're talking about Manny Petty on 560, and people are calling us things that Kevin Hart tweeted in 2009. already. And it's BS because men get manicure and pedicures. Dwayne Wade paints his nails.
I saw that he paints it black, right?
Dwayne Wade paint has, I don't know if he still does, he used to paint his nails.
Well, I think he's got fungus. So he just painted it so we wouldn't see the fungus.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
Catchers paint their nails.
But that's for work. So the pitcher could see the nail, like see the
artists
pitch.
Artists paint their nails.
I'm a pitcher anyways. Do they really?
Yeah, like Post Malone, Bad Bunny.
I played catcher in high school.
I don't know, man. Like, manicure, pedicures. It's fun, man. It's fun. Even with my brother.
You get
fun.
Manicures, though? Like, my hands are fine. I think my hands are fine.
I don't get it. They just cut my nails.
I get scared when people cut my nails.
My hands are ticklish, too, though. So it's just the whole experience is weird.
My feet are ticklish. So, like, when they start scrubbing it, I start laughing. What do you want me to do?
It is a millennial thing, I think, right? Like, males being
Metro?
Yeah. Do you do your eyebrows?
Metrosexuals, yeah.
No. You don't do your eyebrows? I do. I tell my barber to get my unibrow and then the shape a little bit.
No.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
You guys have hairy eyebrows.
I do. I gotta go.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Where are you going?
To the bar. I gotta go. Gotta go to the barber.
Oh, man. So earlier today, Falero and I, we tweeted, you can follow Eric Falero, E-R-I-C-K Falero on
Bingo.
Twitter. Can follow. It's Hector Esteban.
Esteban Mejia.
Just Esteban Mejia.
Esteban Mejia. Is that your name's Esteban?
Middle name.
Okay.
Also known as Steven.
Really?
Yeah. Esteban in Spanish. Steven? Steven in English.
I'm not good in Spanish. I'm sorry.
You can follow him there. You can follow me, Alex M. Solana. There was I wouldn't even say like a poll, but a picture of a Chick-fil-A and a Whataburger.
Ooh.
To very prominent fast food chains. They were together. They were combined in the same location. So the question was...
Like a Pizza Hut, Taco Bell type thing.
Right, yeah. Right. What two fast food establishments would be your dream if they could be in the same location? If they were in the same building, you could go and get a Chick-fil-A sandwich and Whataburger fries if that was your preference, even though I don't know why anybody would choose Whataburger fries over Chick-fil-A fries. But...
Well, I guess I think you would go with a Whataburger burger and then get the Chick-fil-A fries.
That would have probably
the way
been
to go.
Right, the direction I should have went there. Thank you, Eric.
That's what I'm here for.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. What two fast food establishments would you want? What would your dream fast food establishment be? Two of them combined.
Probably go Popeyes, because I love Popeyes chicken, and Chipotle.
We're doing that as Chipotle fast food? Are we doing that?
I think.
What are we considering fast food? Drive-thru?
Is it drive-thru?
I think it has to be drive-thru.
So it can't be fast casual. Okay.
I don't think it could be fast casual. Is that what we call it?
Yeah, that's what you called it. I would probably go Whataburger King.
That's solid. Whataburger is kind of overrated, right?
No, don't. That's blasphemy. Don't you say that. Have you been there?
I have.
You haven't?
I have.
Where? Because is it Tallahassee?
I have.
Okay, I don't know. Are you saying I have or I haven't?
I have.
You're adding like, I have. Yes or no? Yes or no?
I would go Pollo Tropical. And I tweeted out earlier Chick-fil-A, but I'm changing that. In-N-Out. Pollo Tropical and In-N-Out Burger. And anybody, you know.
In-N-Out's overrated.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do
it
that.
It is, though.
People love to do that. Whenever there's something that's so good, you always have the other person. Like when the Rams and the Chiefs played a couple weeks ago. And that game, so much scoring,
greatest
so
game
much
of
excitement,
all time.
Greatest regular season game of all time. We talked about it on our Thanksgiving Especial.
Thanksgiving, see.
You had everybody, oh, but the defense. This game, where's the NFL headed? You need better defense. There's no defense in this game. The NFL sucks now. And like, just stop. There was defense in the game. The problem is the offense was just better. And there were defensive plays being made in the game. The problem is, the offense was just better.
Okay, but people are entitled to their own opinion. Why are you getting mad at them?
Like, because...
That's like them getting mad at you for saying it was the greatest game of all time.
In-N-Out Burger is not overrated. It's good. It's a great fast food establishment. When I'm on the West Coast, I seek out In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, because everybody tweets about it.
No.
Like, it's okay. It's nothing special.
It's your same argument with Art Basel. You think I'm going to Art Basel because I'm trying to look cool being at Art Basel.
Do you like art?
I like art. I go to museums.
Don't. You don't like art.
I even have a favorite period of art.
What's your favorite painting? The Mona Lisa? Exactly. You can't name one because you don't like art.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we get our manicure pedicure. WQAM invites you to join our sister station, Kiss Country, at the 34th annual Chili Cook-Off powered by Ford, coming January 26th to CB Smith Park in Pembroke Pines. Headliners include Brooks and Dunn, Luke Combs, Rodney Atkins, Low Cash, and many more. Get your tickets now at WKIS.com. Solana and Falero here on WQAM along with Hector Mejia. We'll take you until 10 p.m. The Miami Heat should be tipping off in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say there?
It's all right.
Goran Dragic is back in the lineup tonight. He's on a minutes restriction, as Eric Falero has told us a couple times tonight. Mm-hmm. We asked you on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022, to tell us what two fast food establishments would you want in the same location? So we were talking about Whataburger and Chick-fil-A were mm-hmm. opening or had opened in the same spot. So you can get Chick-fil-A and Whataburger at the same counter. Which two would you choose? Again, 56022. I said Pollo Tropical and In-N-Out Burger.
I said Whataburger King, because you can mix the names nicely. And I do like Burger King. I think Burger King's very underrated.
That's why you're going with it, though? Just because?
The name sounds cool.
I don't know. Burger King, like, they...
What?
It's good, but it's so inconsistent. It's inconsistent.
I'll give you that, but when it's on, that chicken sandwich.
It's like Hassan Whiteside, right? Burger King is Hassan Whiteside.
Without the moping.
Yeah.
But the production. Yeah.
Some moping.
Did you see what the Tennessee Titans tweeted Darren Rovell last night?
I did. I did see that. Really funny. Can they get in trouble for that?
The Titans? No, for what?
If you didn't see it, Darren Rovell tweeted, I don't even remember what it was he tweeted. It was like a stat, right?
I'm going to find it again, yeah. I remember the Titans reply. That's why it's funny. I'm looking for it now.
Probably should have been a little better prepared for that, since we were going to bring it up.
Who, me or you?
Both of us. Just
I think
it's
me. I brought it up. Oh, please don't call that one of the best runs in NFL history. He's talking about the Derrick Henry 99-yard touchdown run. If you call it anything... Right. Call it one of the worst tackling jobs. Tennessee Titans, the Twitter account replied, "Shut up, nerd." I think that broke Twitter.
Darren Rovell, by the way, made a big splash. He's leaving ESPN.
Yeah.
Going to the Action Sports Network. You guys had on the CFO today of Action?
Chad Millman, yeah.
The CFO of Action Sports Network?
He's the one that brought over Darren Rovell.
Really?
Yeah, he was a guy.
He's the suit.
The suit. Yeah, Darren Rovell, business of sports betting, sports business reporter, and senior executive producer for Action Network.
Do people like Darren Rovell?
I like his Twitter account. I might not like the person, but his Twitter account's very entertaining and informing.
Because Hawk said it today, he found that niche with ESPN of like sports business, right? Like he's not necessarily tweeting about Aaron Rodgers' completion percentage versus Tom Brady's. He's more tweeting about the business side.
And the interesting facts.
I mean, most of the time, it's just new jerseys. Like, stop. It's just new jerseys, like the Vice jerseys. And
like, crazy food items at certain parks. I think he's found a pretty cool niche. It's niche, not niche. I don't know why he said niche.
Niche?
It's niche.
Speaking of that, by the way, which park in Miami, which stadium has the best food? It's Marlins Park, right?
Oh, no, not anymore. I think Dolphins took over because they added a bunch of new restaurants in Dolphins Stadium, Hard Rock Stadium.
Okay, yes, however, it's harder. I'm trying to think of how I can present this the right way. It's in Marlins Park, even if you're sitting on the third base side, but you want to go to, you know, Taste of Miami,
mm-hmm.
which would be on the first base. I don't remember which side it's
third,
on.
It's on the third base.
Right, okay. Field. If you're sitting in right field, you want to go to Taste of Miami, you can get there in a matter of minutes. So it's not hard to eat wherever you want to in Marlins Park.
Yeah.
Easily accessible no matter where you're sitting. In Dolphin Stadium, that's not the case. If you're sitting in section 112, but your favorite restaurant is on the other side of the stadium, it's going to take you quite some time to get there, it's highly inconvenient to have to walk all the way around the stadium. So most people just won't.
I'm with you, but I thought the question was, what's the best food? Like, I think Hard Rock Stadium has killed it with the food this season. They added a bunch of new restaurants. The Shula Burger. They have Shula Burger. They have this.
But isn't that only
Los Ranchos?
They do have Los Ranchos.
Isn't
now
that only in the club level?
Is
no
it?
No, 300 right? level too.
Yeah.
Don't be a hater.
I don't know. I just get chicken tenders and fries no matter where I'm at.
No, but I'm Marlins Park guy too.
I mean,
but they got one thing. They got the Jason Miami.
No, but even just everything. I like getting the ice cream in the little helmet. Right? Like, that's a staple of going to a baseball game.
How old are you? You get the ice cream in the helmet?
I get the ice cream in the helmet with sprinkles on
just
top.
Just get it in a cone.
I get the ice cream in a helmet with the sprinkles on top. Then after I eat the ice cream, I go to the bathroom, I wash out the helmet, I take it home, and I throw it in a drawer, and I never open up that drawer.
What's wrong with
you? I never use it for anything.
You're 13 years old. Use a cone.
I never use a cone.
Yeah,
when
you
I
know
get
what?
I
said it, and I don't use a cone either. I use a cup.
I
like
always,
the cup.
I mean, the cone's just too messy.
Yeah, and then like I like to eat it with a spoon. I don't like to just eat it with my tongue.
Like when I go to Dairy Queen, I get a Blizzard, and I just use. I don't ever get anything in a cone.
Is there a Dairy Queen around?
You don't have Dairy Queen near you? And Kendall, there's a few.
I've never seen a Dairy Queen.
49th Street.
Really?
Next to a Long John Silver?
There's a few in Kendall. Or there were a few. I mean, now there's a couple.
Do you guys get like dinner food from Dairy Queen? Because I know they sell burgers.
No, I don't think they do in South Florida. At least not any of the locations I've been to down here. I've been to one in Iowa, strange enough. I was in Iowa. Don't ask me why.
I want to ask why.
And I got a burger in Iowa at a what were we talking about, Dairy Queen? 560-22, we were asking about the two fast food establishments you want to see together. I said Pollo Tropical and In-N-Out. Somebody texted in Pollo Tropical and Fritanga.
Hmm.
Best fast food duo, a la LeBron Wade, is Five Guys and Shake Shack. Is that the LeBron Wade of fast food duos?
I don't know, because they're kind of the same thing, Five Guys and Shake Shack. They sell burgers and fries. Like, you want more variety, no?
You want to talk about overrated? Shake Shack, overrated.
Overpriced, that's what it is. Like, it's good food, but it's overpriced.
Shake Shack, much better than In-N-Out, somebody said. And somebody else texted in, Whataburger is superior.
It is. Yeah, if you haven't gone to Whataburger, you got to go. There's none around here, but I went to Texas a couple of times. I made it a point to stop at Whataburger.
The Miami Heat, of course, about to play against the Phoenix Suns. I mean, I'm trying to get us excited for the game. I'm trying to, but Devin Booker's not playing tonight. You know what you're going to get from the Miami Heat. Hassan Whiteside's out, though. Wayne Ellington out as well tonight. If there was one thing you'd be looking forward to in tonight's game, it would have been watching Devin Booker play, right?
No.
No?
No. The Suns are 4-21.
So there's no way I can present this game to you and say, hey, this is an exciting game to watch. No way I can present that to you.
No, because what are the Heat? 9-14, and the Suns are 4-21. These are two of the worst teams in the NBA. Without Whiteside, without Wayne Ellington, yeah, you get Goran Dragic back, but no, this team's just not nothing. I won't watch this game. I'm gonna watch it now because you're gonna put it on the TV and you're gonna force me to watch it. But other than that, no.
And you don't think the Heat can turn this around? At all. Like, neither of you have any sort of confidence in Eric Spoelstra in this organization. If the players were healthy, if Goran Dragic gets back to full strength, Hassan Whiteside when he returns. I mean, I understand this stretch for the Heat is going to be tough with this 6-game Western Conference road trip. And by the way, the easy part of their schedule is behind them. And they're, what, 9-14, like Filero said?
Yeah.
So it's only going to get tougher from here on out. And it starts... probably not today, but it starts tomorrow, a back-to-back against, the Los Angeles Clippers, who, don't look now, are the best team in the West.
Are they? Really?
No, they're not the best team in the West because Golden State is the best team in the West.
No, but
in the East.
I meant standing-wise.
Yeah, they are first in the West.
I don't think you're right. I just saw it. I think the Nuggets
are. Okay, they were first in the West yesterday. If they're a game back now, I'm sorry, Eric Flero.
We work in sports radio. You got to get your facts right. Let me see. I'm checking. Okay, let's see. No, Nuggets are first in the West.
Which is, in itself... unbelievable as
Who's
well.
Who's second?
The Warriors.
Thunder. I mean, and then the Clippers.
I mean, so. The Clippers were first like 2 days ago.
They're not first anymore. Warriors are fourth. Lakers are fifth, surprisingly. Wow, I thought they were playing bad. Grizzlies sixth. Trailblazers seventh. Mavericks eighth. And get this, the Rockets are the third worst team in the West. Third worst team in the West. They're 13th.
Their window's closed, right? Like, they're not winning a title.
Oh, for sure. That last year was their chance. And I don't know, I guess bringing in Carmelo Anthony messed everything up in that organization.
No,
or getting rid
been.
Of Trevor Ariza.
It couldn't have been. Was last year an anomaly? Like, is it that teams have figured out what they were doing and that's
shooting
it? Like,
threes at an alarming rate, yeah.
I mean, it's not just the fact that they're shooting threes at an alarming rate, which they were, by the way. Like, we talk about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson kind of changing the NBA mm-hmm. and taking it into this direction, which we've never seen, which is just three-pointers from everywhere. But the Rockets help contribute to that. Like, the Rockets help define what the NBA is today, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets forgotten because the Warriors are so good and because the Warriors are what they are, which is the best team we've perhaps ever seen. And I know some of the old heads hate to say that, and they'll argue, some of you will argue that, you know, no team in the NBA would be able to compete with the 80s and 90s teams because hand checking, you know, was allowed back then. And it's baloney.
Okay,
like,
take out hand checking. Okay, you guys can't hand check anymore. You think these 80s teams and 90s teams are going to be better than the Warriors? The Warriors are the best team we've ever seen in our lifetime.
It's absolutely asinine to claim that. But the Rockets, like, they really did help contribute to making the NBA what it is today.
Did they, or was it Steph Curry?
No,
Steph Curry changed the game.
Steph Curry for sure. Began that shift where, why are we going to struggle shooting twos from inside the three-point line when we have a guy who is basically shooting threes like if it's a layup?
Yeah, you can shoot it from anywhere.
I mean, people realized layups, open layups and dunks and threes are the most efficient shots in basketball
mm-hmm.
or the most valuable shots in basketball when you're shooting them at a higher percentage. Why waste your time with twos when the team on the other side is going to shoot threes and beat you, making less shots? And teams quickly figure that out, and you're seeing it where, like, the Grizzlies are still trying to play. They're grinded out.
The Grizzlies are stuck in the 90s.
They are, and it's working for them now, but you'll see. They'll digress, and they'll miss the playoffs. No, they will. I mean, you see the Pistons, like, they're trying to do a mixture of both with Blake and Andre, but with Drummond, excuse me. It's not going to work. Like, mm-hmm. it's just not working. The Rockets help contribute to that. I think they shot more threes than the Warriors did both last season and the season prior to last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they did help establish this culture of just shooting threes and focusing on the corner three and just taking as many shots as you can. And obviously D'Antoni helped amplify that because of the style of offense he runs. But it's just bizarre to me how they could be a game away. A Chris Paul, what was it, his groin or his hamstring?
It was one of those, yeah.
Away from taking out the best team we argue ever. Yeah. And now they're this bad. It's the same thing as the Spurs. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And you know what? The big three actually helped, I think, change the game too. Because they created what was called now small ball. They took out the power forward. They put the power forward at center. So it's a point guard, a center, and three shooters. So that's where I think, like, the Rockets got it from, the Warriors got it, the small ball idea, and then they just took it to the other next level.
And you could say the Miami Heat, to kind of flip this locally, influenced this culture as well, this idea of, you know, bigs are not necessary. Bigs are not what they once were in the NBA, which was obviously highly valued. Like, if you could invest your money in a big, that's
what
you would
do. Yeah, big like Shaq, back to the basket.
But
look at the bigs now.
Even Hassan Whiteside, and that's why it's so bizarre. Like, it really is bizarre when you think about it, that the Miami Heat, the big three, mm-hmm. specifically, helped define this idea of you don't need a center with his back to the basket. You don't. Take efficient shots, make the threes, get open three-pointers, mm-hmm. make them, and finish at the rim, and you're going to be scoring at a much better pace, and your shots are going to be valued more. And then they invest you know, $80 million in Hassan Whiteside. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, no, the big nowadays, you need somebody that can put their back to the basket, but can also step out and shoot the threes. That's why Joel Embiid's so special. He's the prototypical center now that you would want on your team.
Solana and Falero here on 560 WQM.